Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
That's another right? common denominator because yeah. I did yeah. a Playboy YouTuber shoot with them. I wonder.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I wasn't there at the time. But yeah, yeah, they were doing like hot YouTubers and stuff.
Oh,
right?
Thank you. I don't know. Are they hot? I don't know. But yeah, you can see my butt if you Google me. That's from Playboy.
Hey, don't look at it.
Yeah, don't look at my butt, but you can Google it. But don't look at it. Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo, and this is my co-host, Steve Green.
Hello.
Yes, and we are joined today by a very special guest, Rhea Carmona, and she's a podcast host of Was That Good For You, another Studio 71 original. You should go check it out. But yeah, thank you for being here today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
So you do the show in this room.
I do. I do it in this room. I sit in this spot.
This is our room. Please stop doing
it's
that.
It's only your room when your logo is up.
Listen,
here.
I feel like it's
we
mine.
We started this room.
It's very weird to hear that other people are in your room.
It is. Because I don't even think about it. Yeah, but when I watched a couple of videos, I was like, whoa, it's in our room.
Yeah.
Right. I know. I always see other videos now with our yeah. room. And I'm like, damn.
But we are excited to have you because we're talking about our favorite subject, which is sex.
Yes.
We love it.
Such a fun subject.
And your podcast is all about sex and relationships,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
And how did that start for you? Because I met you a long time ago. We did a collab together. We did yoga, a yoga challenge
oh,
video.
Oh, yeah. We did.
So you can check that out. But
we did a yoga challenge video, too.
Yeah, we did.
You
yes,
and me.
You're right, Steve. The common denominator is we've all done a yoga challenge at one point together.
Yeah. Which one did you like better?
I don't want to say. I liked them both the same in different ways.
Which one got more views?
They're like my children.
Which one got more views?
Reyes did.
But the algorithm was involved with mine.
Yes, that's true. There were no algorithms back then.
That's true.
All right, but
this is like I'm bad at sex, but she's like, no, you did fine.
It's like I have two children, and I like yeah. kind of favorite one of them, and I don't want to tell the other one that the other one's the favorite. but back then you were doing, you know, like a lot of like relatable vlogs and stuff.
Yeah.
And how did you become, how did you come to find relationships and sex as your most passionate subject to talk
about? Yeah. So when I started off, I had a huge male audience. And even when I kind of tried to go for more female, it always stayed a huge male audience. And because YouTube skews a little bit younger and I'm a slightly older female, they just naturally started asking me a lot of relationship advice questions. So I do Q&As and like every question would be some kind of sex and relationship advice. Just I think younger guys like to hear it from like a woman.
Yeah.
And so I just ended up doing a lot of relationship advice on my YouTube channel and then was somehow able to used that to get me a job at Playboy, and I ran social at Playboy for a few years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was super fun. Yeah. It was great. I learned even more about sex than I ever thought it existed.
Dude, I hosted the Playboy Morning Show for a month, and that I did too.
Wild, that's another right? common denominator, because yeah. I did yeah. a Playboy YouTuber shoot with them. I wonder.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I wasn't there at the time, but yeah, yeah, they were doing like hot YouTubers and stuff.
Oh,
right?
Thank you. I don't know. Are they hot? I don't know. But yeah, you can see my butt if you Google me. That's from Playboy.
Hey, don't look at it.
Yeah, don't look at my butt, but you can Google it. But don't look at it.
Don't look at it.
Yeah, please. Look at my please back of honest. My head, please.
Please be honest out yeah. there. Thank you.
But yeah, so I was there for the past 2 years. I recently moved on. But I love the brand so much. And right now they're in this big transition where Hugh Hefner's son kind of took over and right. he's 26.
So yeah, what are they going to do, man?
Yeah, they have they're really in a huge transitional phase, but it's really cool to see because they're kind of changing. They're still very sex positive, yeah. very like nude is normal, but in a lot more of like an educational way.
Yeah, because there was a whole
nude away
rumor
for 16 days.
Yeah, I know.
And then they're like, we can't handle it.
Well, I think also they realized, I think that they were like, oh, we have to get away from this. You know, the stigma we have, and then they realize that like we can get away from the stigma and still like not shame people who want to pose
exactly
nude.
You could like right. promo like the positive, like, hey, we're all like people with bodies that are naked under clothes, like,
right,
let's just celebrate that.
When I was exactly. there hosting the show, we were doing writing sessions for the next day, and we had to run everything through a legal department that was there to protect the bunny. They always said you gotta protect the bunny.
Yeah.
But what's so funny to me is that, like, to me, that bunny is covered in cum. Like the people who watch Playboy are just jerking off to the fucking magazine. What are you talking about?
It's true. Well, the magazine is a lot less nudity now.
Right.
We still have, so right now it's a quarterly book. Yeah. So it's a huge, it's like a coffee table book. It has an art cover now. It doesn't
whatever.
Have.
Whatever. I think that's cool.
Oh, he's like, crack it open. Who's in there, man?
To be honest, I follow a lot of the girls that were featured on like Playboy's Instagram because I thought they had like just cool energy. Like their vibe was cool.
Well, no,
like,
that's the thing now. It's, yeah. it's Playmates are, you have to be so much more than beautiful now. Our Playmate of the Year yeah. last year has a nonprofit she started. She's Miss African American New York. Like,
anyone could be naked with tits.
You gotta save some animal now.
You gotta also save animals Jesus. And have great tits.
So I follow this one girl named Brooke Power, and
she's a Playmate.
Yeah, and she's awesome, and she's like a surfer chick, and she's like always like nude in like forests and stuff. But she also has a kid, and she's a mom. And,
oh,
like,
see, back in my day, you could be a shit person as long as you were nude on.
Nah, she's like so cool. Anymore. She's like so like organic life type girl, and like I don't
full
know.
Package.
I like her. Like I like her whole deal. She's yeah. kind of like looks like. Karen from The Office, or Rashida Jones.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but like...
I could see. Okay, I'll check her out.
Right? Don't. No, just kidding. You
but
should.
Yeah, we have
always
like...
To see her
she's
nude.
Pretty.
They have like plus-size Playmates now, bald Playmates, trans Playmates. It's like, it's all... Yeah. It's very inclusive
they
now.
They really have
is,
bald Playmates?
They do. She's like insanely beautiful. No, you'd see her and you'll be like, oh my God.
Yeah, Sinead O'Connor was beautiful bald.
Her name is Vendela and she's insanely beautiful. It hurts my feelings.
Hey, Demi Moore was pretty hot blonde.
Yeah.
Bald.
If you have the face to pull it off, you can do it.
True.
If you got a bald face.
You got to have a very yeah. symmetrical face.
You have
face.
To have a very yeah. kind of perfect symmetrical
see,
face.
See, my face is headed towards bald, but I don't think I'll be able to handle it.
Yeah,
I got to do something
your head
about
shape
it.
Is not there.
My head
for,
shape's
yeah.
not kind to bald for bald. I don't think so.
Hasn't got up to your...
No.
I don't know what my head shape is because I've always had long hair, but I'm terrified that I have like a dent or something. And
oh, yeah. Because you don't know what happened when you were a baby
yeah,
and like your
exactly.
head got deformed.
Especially for a female. Most females have had longer hair. You don't know what's under there.
Mm-mm.
And I'm terrified to find out.
We don't want
to
find
think
out.
Of that.
Yeah.
You're right. I could have a dent.
You could. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just made it worse.
Just, yeah. just keep coming.
Yeah, you did. You got a couple dents. Don't shave it. Don't shave it off.
People keep on telling me you should just shave it off already. I'm like, you know what? If I do that, it'll never come back.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to dye it blonde as a for like a video that we were doing,
right.
and you were like, I'm too scared of using actual bleach because it might not come back.
True.
And I was like, that's valid.
Yeah, so. That's actually very valid.
I would wig this head, but not.
I
perhaps.
Actually haven't heard a man have that fear. It's like such like a.
Yeah.
It's a very feminine fear.
Oh, I'm
to have.
Very insecure.
He's very feminine.
you're finding
very
that
in touch
I'll
with
be
his emotions.
Quite insecure.
Yeah.
I'll prove it to you this whole episode. You'll see.
Yeah, so our topic today, I thought we would talk about a sex and relationship topic, because that's very fitting. And I wanted to talk about, because this is some shit that I feel like no one ever told me, was like finding intimacy in sex. And I think there's a difference between like intimate sex and like just fucking, right, or like hooking up. And even if you think that you are having intimate sex, like for a long time I thought with my serious relationship, I was having intimate sex because any act seems like it's an intimate act if it's a sex act.
Absolutely.
But really, I realized later that
except
I was...
Except for fisting.
No, that could be intimate.
That could be intimate.
Is it really?
If it's with someone you love.
It seems kind of mean, dude.
Well, some people like that, okay, Steve? So maybe you just don't yuck
no
them.
No kink shaming.
I was debunked.
Excuse us. Anyway, I realized that I had been just performing. Like a lot of... The sex wasn't that enjoyable for me, and I just felt like that's what sex was. It just was like kind of meh.
Right.
Because I felt like it was a lot of work. Like it was a lot of me getting in the mode and like performing for my partner rather than like just being completely open and vulnerable to the moment and like connecting to somebody. And there's a huge difference, and I did not know about that until research. I'm always like self-analyzing and like researching later that like, oh, maybe I have intimacy issues. And I think a lot of people out there might. And
yeah,
so let's talk about that. Did you ever have like a relationships like that where you were maybe like thought you were intimate and you
Absolutely. I think especially when I was younger, from when I first started having sex, sometimes it feels like, especially for females, society has kind of placed this burden on us of like the man comes first.
Yeah.
And so even if you're not consciously thinking that, it kind of becomes a thing of like, oh, did they come? I gotta make sure they come. Yeah. It's the most important thing. Versus I know a lot of girls, including myself, didn't really feel comfortable being like, it's not over till I also come.
Right.
Until I was older. And until I think probably I had a partner that was like, that was interested, just as interested in my pleasure as he was in his own, which I think you also don't find a lot in super younger relationships because you're children and you're kind of, you're all just fumbling around with your parts and figuring it out. And they're not, so, especially with porn, I think porn kind of can mess that up too. Not that I'm against all porn, but I think that there's a lot of it that kind of puts this unrealistic ideal in men's heads that like you stick it in and she's like, eh! And it's like, oh, great, I'm doing a great job. This is all awesome. And we're kind of ingrained to make them feel good, so we're eh-ing.
Yeah.
And then it becomes this thing where nobody's communicating and realizing, and so we're putting on a show and they kind of think everything's great. It's like Euphoria. I don't know if you guys watch Euphoria, but
no,
I've seen
been trying
it. Everyone's
to.
Talking about
like, everyone's
HBO,
talking about
HBO
it.
HBO keeps asking for my password, and I'm like, I don't remember it.
But there's some great things. It's obviously it's set in high school, and so there's some great things. It's like an insight into that. Like, there's one scene where the girl's like watching porn, and she's not doing it to pleasure herself at all. She's strictly just like mimicking the faces and the noises and arching her back and like just basically practicing
mimicking
putting
it.
On that performance.
Huh.
She's probably a good lay though. On account of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly. But it'd be great if her boyfriend was also doing that and trying to be like, what's great for her?
Mimic that face. That fucking, that porn face.
No, yeah. You know, there's a lot of misconceptions even for guys too, like that women like you to last for an hour. Like,
yes.
Oh, God, no.
No, please do not last for an hour.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I can't tell you how, I don't want to go into old sex lives.
Go
but
ahead.
I'm
oh
just
God.
Saying there's a lot of flaccid boners that could have been a good time, but they like tried to make it last so long, and then it's just a struggle for them, and nobody's having a good time, okay? Like, you're
nobody.
Not having a good time because you're trying to stop your boner from coming, and then, like, I'm not having a good time because it's been, like, fucking 45 minutes.
Right, at that point, it hurts.
Yeah,
you're just
it's, like, all raw. And
I feel
like, not even
overall,
wet anymore.
Most of the time, if a girl says to you, come for me, baby, it's like, yeah, come on. Wrap it up, boy.
Oh, like, shit.
Totally. Yeah.
I had no idea.
I also think that on the other side of, like, not, like, there's the people, when you're younger and you're like, oh, I didn't even know that I'm supposed to come also. And then there's also, like, guys that think that the girl's supposed to come every time, like, during sex.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Not just oral sex, but, like, they have to come during sex. And so that, I feel like, quite a few times I faked it because I felt the pressure that if I didn't come then they would feel like a failure.
Yeah.
And then
she's talking
that
about
would,
me right now.
That would hurt their feelings.
Let's just do it. Let's go. She's talking about me right now and it pisses me absolutely off.
It's only because you're my only sex partner
communicate that I wasn't actually doing it.
So you would have it's great though that
wrong.
You're that's what you're upset about. It's great that you're upset because that she wasn't getting off and she wasn't communicating it versus the fact that like she's like you didn't get off. Like,
right.
You want to know. And that's,
yeah,
like, that's important, I think.
And because, like, you know, I come sometimes, but not all the time, or like not every time.
So damn complicated.
And so, yeah. So he thinks like,
can't it be easier?
I have to come every time. And I'm like, wait, no, like I'm just like in the moment and I just don't want to like, if it's not happening, like I just want,
pressure it.
Yeah, I don't want to pressure it. And so like, yeah. There's ways to do it afterwards. Not that doesn't have to be during the act that I enjoy just the same.
Did you only fake it with me?
No. I've, like everybody.
I faked it with almost everyone. Yeah. I actually was just having a conversation with a guy friend about this, about how often, he was like, how often have you probably faked it in your life? And I'm like, probably like 40%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was so shocked by that number. And he was like, I don't think a girl's faked it with me. And I was like, well, every girl's faked it. And most guys can't tell. So
that
do the math.
Awesome. Yeah. That guy's awesome. That guy has a fucking pair of balls on his truck. Yeah. I don't think anybody's
and
ever faked it with me.
And the little pissing kid, the sticker in the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to tell you, though, it was harder... Because, like, we've been together for a long time, mm-hmm. and I feel like it went on for a few years, and it was, so it was harder to
you
finally...
You did come during that.
Definitely. No, that's what I'm saying, is that...
But also faking it when you couldn't.
Yeah, because, like, I didn't want you to feel like the times that I didn't come, that was, like, it was your fault. So I was like, well, I don't... Because I'm still having a good time, so I don't want him to think that it's his fault. And, you know, you would say things during it, like
give me your big load, baby.
No.
give me that big old load. Yeah.
Like, I want you to come for me.
And then at that point, we're supposed to be like,
oh,
well,
too much pressure. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I'm out of it, and it like it actually has the opposite effect. So, in order,
I don't do that no more.
Totally, but I had to tell you that, and that stepping up and admitting that was hard for me because I didn't want you to feel like I was lying to you this whole time.
I don't feel like that.
Yeah.
But I actually love that you told me that.
It was
because
a great communication
thing. It helped me.
Exactly. And I feel like we've had much more intimate sex since then because I don't feel that pressure. And I think that pressure is what is putting up a wall between a lot of people having actual intimate sex and like being able to make love.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's so many factors, but yeah, that's a huge one.
Yeah. And it's funny because I actually notice it. I didn't notice it. And then someone recently told me that on the other end, guys have that same thing. Like if a guy can't come, a lot of times they like girls, they don't mean to, but they want you to come so bad that they end up pressuring you to the point where like, I have met guys who are like, yeah, I faked it with girls before.
Whoa. How can you fake it though?
If a condom's on, you can pretty much just waddle to the bathroom and they're not following you in there. And then you just, they're not going to go in the trash later. And, you know,
I see.
And so it's like they were like, yeah, it's a lot of pressure if you can't come, if it's because maybe you're drunk or you're just nervous or maybe you're on drugs. I don't know.
Yeah.
And you can't. And a lot of times girls are like, well, why? Well, what can I do? And a lot of times the guy's like, there's nothing right now. There's nothing in the whole world is going to work right now. But they then feel emasculated and they're like, yeah. Great, and then they fake it too, but it just shocked me. I was like,
that is a shock. Yeah, because you never think about that side.
What's with chicks having pictures of their grandma in the room and shit? That's my thing. Like that will take you out of it. Like,
how many girls have you slept with that had pictures of grandmas
in
their
room?
I'm remembering a specific moment is all I'm saying. And I'm like, why would you put a picture of your grandmother in, like, next to the bed in the room?
Yeah.
It's very weird.
It's a bad idea.
It's a strange
place. At least put it face down if you know you're going to get laid that night.
Right.
It just... genuinely, like, I'm not even kidding, the lights were dim and stuff, but I looked over and I saw her grandma and I was like, oh shit, I don't know what to do, I'm out.
And at that point you can't tell her, she's like, why can't you come? And you're like, well, because your grandma's staring into my soul.
I mean, honestly, yeah, right. It was just one of those weird things where you're just like, it's like, this is so, like, now looking back it's funny, but back in the moment I'm like, oh shit, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So have you faked it as a guy?
No. That wasn't me faking it. I was just like, hey.
That was a boner killer for you. Yeah. Like where you couldn't come. Yeah. That makes sense. Also, like with us in the beginning, like he was really nervous. Like you were.
I'm a very insecure person.
Yeah. he just liked me a lot. So it wasn't even like, oh, this girl doesn't turn me on. It was like, I'm scared.
It was almost the full opposite of that.
Yes.
Like, exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, she was the first person I'd been with. In a long time.
Okay.
Not because I was on a dry spell, but because I had recently, me and my ex got separated, or she broke up with me. And then.
Separated.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that so legally. It's
like
so
they're
weird.
Getting back together.
I don't know
soon.
Why. Yeah, I don't know.
No, separation.
But then, so then she was the only chick I had been with for years.
Right.
And then I'm with a nude girl, and it was weird. And then also, I really liked you. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think for, at least on my end, I don't know about you, but it's like when I, especially when I was younger, I was like, I would get so insecure if a guy couldn't come or if he got soft. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I'm ugly. What face did I make? What noise did I make? And like 99% of the time, it's not the person. It's not usually the girl.
Yeah.
It's the photographs
of the grandma or they're nervous
or some insecurity or
something. But you're instantly like, oh my God. Oh my God. He didn't come. What did I do?
Yeah.
And when I was younger, I used to definitely be like, okay, what can I do? Let's do this. Let's do this.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Game planning. We can do this. We can do this. And the guy that I was talking to was like, that's terrible. It makes things so bad. Let's just go to bed. It's fine.
Yeah. And planning is weird, too. I was with this chick once who like, she not only bought a bunch of pre-sex stuff, like condoms and stuff, but okay. She bought, like, everything. She bought, like, fucking flavor condoms, dental dams.
Oh, my God.
She bought, like pussy condoms. And, like, she had it all lined up on the bed. And I was just like, this is too, like, a science experiment for me.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, I don't know what to do.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I wonder if she's still doing that and if she does it with every partner.
I wouldn't know.
Can you call her?
I'm not the type who stalks all my exes, and I literally, to me, they're dead to me when it's over, yeah. So I don't even,
that's
I have
awesome.
No idea.
That's yeah. awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, but it's definitely, I have definitely in the past done that, and then I think, too, I recently, especially with doing the podcast and stuff, obviously a lot of guys now talk to me about sex and whatever, and I've noticed that a lot of the guys who have only been with 4 or 5 girls, but they've been in monogamous long-term relationships versus guys I know who have had sex with like 60, 70 girls. The guys who have been in more relationships, less girls, are by far almost always
way better.
Because a lot of times one night stands, you're not communicating.
No.
You're scared, you're insecure, whatever, so you just fake it and it's over
and
then
you don't
leave.
Know how to get better. Yeah.
Exactly. You're not asking questions or things like yeah. that. So you're just kind of sticking your dick in everyone and then next versus in a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's like, you said it took you guys years, but even then you have communicated and it's like,
dude, I pounded that pussy thousands of times.
Oh, and
just because other guys get like fuck 40 girls. I pound the same pussy.
That's
just
what
many,
she's
many,
saying.
Many
that's
no,
exactly
no, no.
what
I'm,
she's
I'm,
saying.
I'm but trusting
yeah.
her point.
But it's also like you guys are comfortable enough that she can be like, don't do this, do this. Or
yeah.
don't do this, do this. It's like you know a vagina better than a guy who's fucked 1,000 girls one time.
Totally.
That's for sure.
And like oral sex skills on point, never faked it.
Thank you.
Yeah, never faked
much.
It oral sex.
I don't know
sex
how you would.
True. Yeah, you could probably feel.
I could. I can tell when
yeah.
she's doing it.
That's
tell.
True.
I can tell.
But same, the guy that some of the best sex I've ever had, especially the best oral sex, was a guy that I was with for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because after 4 years, you know, he knows exactly what he's
yeah.
doing down there.
You give him a shout out.
Shout out, Chris the magician.
There you go.
Wow,
there
you go.
The oral
shout
master.
Out. If you give him a good enough oral, you will get a shout out.
You should. You deserve
you
a shout
should
out.
Get a
and you will get
podcast shout out.
This show.
Yeah, we will shout you out.
Absolutely.
You let us know,
it's
and we have to verify with the female
with
that you are
lovers,
indeed.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
What's your take on bitches who won't suck dick? Not very cool.
Bitches
is it?
Who want to dick.
That, and that's why they're bitches.
I know much more the other way around. Like
I
where
do too.
Girls that
I do
suck
too.
Lots of dick, the guy who doesn't return.
Those guys
favor.
Are bitches too.
Yeah.
I recently was seeing a guy. It was casual. He was so nice. He was like very communicative. He very much kind of liked me more than I liked him. He would like make reservations for dinner, which like for a 25-year-old guy in LA is like,
oh,
you know what I mean? He was so sweet in every way. But he never went down on me. We had sex like 5 or 6 times.
Oh.
And I was giving him head.
Oh.
He's out.
I know.
No.
It was so weird.
Does you think he knows? Do you think that guys know that they should be doing that?
Well, one girl was like, what if he's just insecure about his skills and he'd rather not even try?
Woof.
But that's still a no. Like, it's still a deal breaker.
Right. I would
no
rather a guy
reason.
Go down on me and be terrible than not
yeah.
even try.
Because you can
at least
learn.
You're making an effort. Right. Exactly. So
yeah.
it was very weird to me.
Maybe he had a really cold mouth and he was worried.
That feels good.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Ice.
Suck
yeah.
on an ice cube and then do that. And,
is it really?
Mm, it's pretty
great.
Good.
Oh,
sometimes
shit.
When you have minty gum.
Yeah, all the time.
And then it's the same kind of effect.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So that would have been great. It would have
wow,
been awesome.
Okay.
Would have been awesome for everyone.
Don't put a cold mouth on my dick, please.
I will not. Sometimes I put a cold hand there and you hate it.
I do
so
not like
I have
that.
Learned.
Oh, yeah.
I have
okay.
to really like heat them up first.
Rub them on your thighs
yeah.
quick.
Very sexy. Don't worry.
So, well, right.
Now you can see our like foreplay
this.
Ritual. Yeah. Just a lot of rubbing hands. A lot of me sitting by a fireplace.
She's definitely made me go like, holy shit, a couple of times.
My hands do not get circulation.
No.
I don't know why. They're always ice cold. And I, even when I'm warm, like my hands are ice cold.
So what's better, ice cold hands or clammy hands?
Ooh.
Clammy.
Really?
Are you serious?
Oh.
For hand jobs?
I don't know about that. Yeah, I don't know.
Clammy.
Oh, for a hand job? Yeah.
Yeah
but like,
well, yeah,
I don't, I've never experienced a hand job.
Stand by. There. Hey, Mark, what's your take? Mark or sound guy?
Spit?
Yeah.
Okay. Spit? Oh, spit.
So if you have clammy hands, just spit on them and make it look like it was spit
instead of
being clammy.
There it is.
I've never had clammy hands. They're always like dry and cold. Just so you get a good feel of what my hand is.
They're dry.
The consistency
and cold.
Of my hand on his dick.
Stick your hand in the freezer for 5 minutes and then you'll know how it feels.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's pretty accurate. Yeah. Sometimes if I'm hot and I'm trying to cool down, I'll just put my hand on my neck because it's very cold.
Wow.
It's probably cold. Some kind of medical issue, but we'll never know.
Why? It's always cold.
It's very cold. It's cold.
But I'm not
I'm
cold.
The opposite. Everybody who touches me is like, why are you so warm?
Huh? Yeah, I'm like that's that. How he is. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's my little heater.
See, my friend Bart, he's like, oh, it's an Asian thing. I have a naturally warm body temperature. I'm like, you're such an idiot, dude. I have the hottest fucking constantly. I'm always warm.
Yeah, I don't think it's a race thing.
Right,
yeah.
But he's in his own world.
Because, like, for me, my brother and I, same exact race, mixed white and Filipino, and I'm always cold, just like my dad, and he's always a furnace, just like my mom.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't think it's a race thing. No. But... back to intimacy.
Yeah.
Have you now being an experienced woman, can you say the difference, explain the difference between like making love, what truly like making love feels like versus sex, just like how you did
raw
it when
dog
you were
young. Raw dog fucking.
So it's funny, I talked about this recently on an episode, it was about friends with benefits, and I was talking about how I have sex very differently with casual relationships, one night stands versus somebody that I'm very interested in. And it's actually gonna, it surprised the guest because it's the opposite. With somebody that I'm super interested in, it ends up being a lot more wild and crazy and experimental because I'm comfortable with that person.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that can be intimate.
Yeah.
Obviously there's something beautiful about like very like sweet, like making love, looking into each other's eyes, and that's amazing. But there's also something very intimate about being completely like uninhibited with a person and not being afraid to like ask for something that's a little weird or kinky, and there just being no judgment in the bedroom.
Totally.
I think that is incredibly intimate versus being with someone and it's kind of quiet and awkward and maybe on the surface level, if you looked out, that one looked more like making love, but really it's a lot less intimate. And it's like you said, it's like you don't want to ask for certain
things.
That's
true. Or, you're like a lot more like, there's a lot more tension.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So I think that intimate sex and making love can mean so many different things for so many different couples, but I find that the more experimental I am and the more I want to like try new things with someone, that's like a pretty good,
you're like exploring together, discovering new things together,
and that really shows me that I like someone.
Yeah,
if I'm comfortable enough to be like, you know what would be fun, let's do this, it's like that's always like a test to me of like, oh, I really like this person. That's true intimacy to me, is kind of like not feeling ashamed to ask for things that maybe with somebody else you might feel
that's
a little
what
bit
communication
scared of.
So key, man. And I know that sounds like something you read in chapter one of a book on relationships, but dude, I mean,
it really is everything.
The fact that she, like, we were in our kitchen and she, and like, I don't remember even how it came up, but the fact that you brought up, you're like, you know, I faked it or whatever.
Yeah,
like just getting to talk about that made me feel so much closer to you, because I'm like, oh, that's so tight that I understand now what she was going through in the moment, and now we can have a better time because of that.
Totally.
But, you know, I also don't have small man syndrome or whatever, and I'm not going to, like, shrink into myself and, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's another important thing, is that, like, it should be something that you are happy that your partner is opening up to you about, not something that's going to turn them away from you, because, like, that was the fear, you know?
Yes.
Like, and I...
It's like, you're a liar.
And we're so honest with each other. Like, I tell him everything. There's no secret I have from you except for that one secret, and it bothered me. Like, it was something that ate at me every time we had sex, because it became more of like an anxiety inducing thing where it no longer was like, ooh, can't wait to have sex. It was like, okay, he's gonna like try to make me come, and then like I'm gonna have to like pretend to come, and like I don't like hiding the secret anymore.
Yeah. Right.
And like it made it so that I was coming, actually orgasming less and less, because
you're so in your head.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think for me, the less in your head you are, the more like the more present you are, that to me is the intimacy part.
Absolutely.
And so no matter what is causing the walls, whether it's insecurities, which I've had body insecurities before, where like I gained weight and I'm like thinking about that the whole time, or if it's like you're just really busy and stressed, or you know, whatever it is, if you're focused more on performing, but whatever is taking you away from like the present moment, that to me is like the difference between having like an intimate sexual
for
time
sure.
and like we're just having sex.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we're fucking or we're just having sex. Also, with the hookups, I have sex way different, too. But the hookups is more like, I feel like it's just surface level. I have zero emotions, and I know that's, some people have to have emotions in order to have the sex.
That's
I think the only emotion I really have is lust, like if that can be considered an emotion.
Yeah,
is
absolutely.
That like there's all this tension because I'm like, I don't know, I kind of think this guy's cute, but I he's funny, but I don't know if like we would actually have sex,
right?
And then if we do, it's like it's just that,
right?
And I never did like oral sex with a guy that I wasn't serious
about.
Classy,
because to me, putting that part in my mouth is like more
intimate.
Yeah, because I'm like, that's my face.
And I agree with you.
That makes sense.
Like, I really have to love you for it to go on my face.
That makes sense. Maybe that's the reason why that guy wasn't going down on me, because we were casual. Maybe
for him,
he was like saving it.
That could be.
Did he get another chance?
Yeah, that is a deal.
So because of that, right? Yeah. He's a bitch, and he don't suck dick, so he's out.
Well, if you did it and he didn't reciprocate,
that's true.
I think that.
That's fucked.
That's a deal breaker.
And it was five times. It wasn't like once.
Mm. Nope.
I can't judge someone based off pretty much anything they do. Well, not
you
want to
shout him out?
No. Oh, God. Oh, goodness,
sure?
No. He's a very nice boy.
Okay.
He's a very nice boy.
You let us know. We'll shout him out anytime you want. You can call in, too. You let us know.
Okay.
Have you ever, like, when did you, like, notice that there's a difference between, like, having sex
making and having sex?
Yeah,
with you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the first time, like, I feel like I made love.
Yeah.
Like, before I was like, I think this one I made love in this one. Yeah. But, yeah. Like,
you so know.
And it was.
I never had done it before until you.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize I had never done it until you, because.
This was like our third date.
It was our third date. It was our first time having sex where, like, we finished, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people were saying that I was going to rebound because he got together with me 2 weeks after his breakup.
I hate that shit.
And
Everyone.
In the back of my mind, I always was like, I hope I'm not, but because I really like this guy. But at the back of my head was always like, I could be, and this could be the first and last time that we have sex, because after he gets what he wants, like, maybe he realizes he's over it or whatever.
That's not how I will.
But then we made love where it was like, I feel like, everything was so vivid to me because I was so in that moment of like, I remember how the lights were, and I remember how I had an exposed brick wall, and like how that looked, and I remember the way your face looked, and I remember what you were wearing that day, and I remember like
so
I remember
cute.
All of that.
I remember too.
So
I'm right there with you.
I love that.
And like you smell your partner, like you, like, just everything is. All the senses are enlivened.
And I remember the next morning, even like walking in the kitchen, seeing what a fucking disaster it was. I remember
that
really well.
It was
really
kind of a disaster. Yeah, but nobody. I lived
all over
alone.
The floor, dry cat food everywhere.
Excuse me. That's how our house looks now. So
true.
The guy I'm seeing now, we recently for the first time came at the same time.
Ooh.
Mm.
And that was super, because it wasn't like planned. It wasn't like, let's try and do this. It just kind of like happened, and it felt very intense. And like, it's been like one of those things where it's been like kind of a long. Winded, kind of, we've taken it very slow, and it was like definitely a very intense moment that I feel like I'll look back on, maybe not as intense as that, but I'll look
definitely
back and be
not.
Like, oh, that was different.
Yeah.
It set it apart.
Dude, you got two bullets to hit each other, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
In a field.
Exactly.
It's a toughie.
I think afterwards we for sure high-fived.
Oh. Like,
yeah, you have to. Sick.
I used to think that I did that all the time with her, but now all those memories have been taken from me.
I know, I'm sorry.
Oh, they have been.
That's
I've
why
been
you shouldn't lie
only
about 50%. Coming. You should be very open with your partner about like have a conversation and tell them exactly like how your body operates,
because
it's super different. It's different between different partners you have, and your sex constantly evolves, or it
should
be
never come
evolving.
At the same time.
I don't think so.
Motherfucker.
No.
But maybe close.
Yeah.
5-10 seconds?
Yeah.
Close is not.
Yeah.
Close is not the same.
It is not the same.
But yeah, communication is so important. I have struggled with that a lot, not just in sex, but in relationships. My biggest flaw is that I play very cool girl.
Mm.
And I'm like, everything's chill. It's fine.
You seem cool.
You text me 3 days. It's fine. Everything's fine. You know what I mean?
But inside you're like,
So I have a really hard time playing it too cool. And then a lot of times I'm like, oh, I really want to know like what we are, what we're doing. And I'm so afraid to ask. And like in sex and relationships, it's the same thing. It's like, it seems scary to communicate and have those conversations. It's so much worse to not.
Exactly.
It's so much worse.
The not knowing is so much worse.
It is. And it comes to a point too, where it's like, if you're scared of having like a conversation about like feelings, or if you're scared that your partner's gonna like blow up on you, maybe that's not the right You know what I mean?
You're not the right fit.
Because the conversation can be scary, but like, I'm sure that there was a point where you also knew that he wasn't going to like be like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like,
he wouldn't leave me.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, you kind of like know with the right person that they're going to take it well. And like, you can communicate.
That's a healthy relationship.
That is healthy. And speaking of healthy, we will be taking a healthy break right now. And after the break, we will be teaching you guys about how to fist intimately. Because it's very serious.
I can't
wait. And yeah, you should stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hello, we're taking a break from ourselves to have ourselves talk about ourselves. So thanks for listening to our podcast.
We really hope that you like, favorite, and subscribe. But most importantly, you give us 5 stars on the podcast app that you are on.
And give us a cool review if you like it, because we like you and we hope you like it.
But even if you don't, just give us 5 stars anyway because we need
it. You sound so desperate.
No, listen, we really need it.
You sound so
desperate. No, look, maybe.
Desperate.
Look, it's a tough time out
there
for podcasters.
Please help my husband. He's very sad.
If we don't get 5 stars, dude, you don't even know what's going to come down on me, man.
I
owe money. Listen, okay. I'm in deep, dude. I gamble.
Okay, no. We're done.
I need to win.
Thank you for listening. We hope you like this. We really appreciate your ears listening to this.
I'm going back to the table tonight. I'm going to get it.
Yeah,
back.
No, you're not.
No, I'm going to get it back.
Okay.
I swear.
That's enough. Enough out of you. And we're back. Steve, how do I fist intimately?
Well, Nikki, you have to put your hand in a jar of Vaseline.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a jar.
Yeah. Well, it needs to be wide enough to get your hand on inside of it.
Okay.
A lot of things have to be wide enough to get your hand inside.
True.
That's what I find. Situation.
First rule of fisting, be able to put your fist inside.
Make sure that anatomically your fist can also go inside. So get a ruler and measure your fist, and then get a ruler and measure her vagina.
You measure circumference or you measure length or width or what?
You do the radius times diameter times 3.14, which is pi.
And then measure how dilated she is.
That's correct. And then
and
if she's
sex.
Very dilated.
I think this is
go.
Childbirth.
But do it slowly, make eye
confused.
Contact, and fist
eye
lovingly.
Eye contact is the most important part of fisting.
Yes.
It really is.
And fist lovingly out there. Don't open your hand inside of her because that's mean.
There's a difference between fisting and punching.
Thank you. Nobody
yes.
says it.
You can go slow.
There's a huge difference. Please learn the difference before engaging in sexual acts with somebody. Yeah.
Thank you.
Please. It's funny you mentioned earlier. Well, it's not funny, but it's funny that you mentioned earlier that with people that you're hooking up with, you're not as exploratory. You're not like you're not pushing the edges as much as when you're like really into somebody. Because I was reading an article on Psychology Today. Mm. It was about like tips on intimacy.
Okay,
and they mentioned like, before the sex even begins, you know, just in the relationship in general, there are things to build intimacy so that by the time it even gets to sex, you're already connected as a partner. So even just doing like physical activities together, going hiking, engaging in like certain things where you're both actively.
I can see that completely.
Yeah,
physical absolutely. Activity.
I love hanging with you and then we go fuck. It's fun.
Yeah, and then like even like reading a book together.
What?
Like,
who does that?
I know, but like
so how do you do that?
Weird couples, you know?
At a park.
You could have like a little book club where we both read the book separately and then you like engage in conversation about the book.
Sense.
You know?
That's weird, but
like
it's,
that kind of thing.
Intellectual foreplay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Anything that establishes an emotional connection, like a deeper connection than just like, you're cute. You're cute too. I like you. You're nice. You know, like you make a lot of money or whatever whatever surface level things people are into. Yeah.
That makes sense because I feel like the people that I've had sex with quote unquote casually, if it's a one night stand, like I met you at a party that night or I only met you a week ago or whatever, versus somebody that it's still casual, maybe we were friends first or we hung out a few times, always better.
Way better.
Always better.
Yeah, so we had 4 years of friendship of building intimacy before we even started. So it makes sense that the first time we had sex, it was very intimate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was making love. And by the way, we've talked about like our normal sex style is not lovemaking. It is like
tantric fucking.
Amazing.
It's
deep
like
I'm sex,
submissive,
deep dicking.
He is, dominant.
Okay.
It's like we like that, you know, that hard, like dirty talk and all that stuff.
Yeah.
She wears a leather mask.
I was actually surprised that we made love like the first time.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, I was very surprised because I never that's not my style.
Right.
And also it was our first time. Usually it's like I'm pulling out all the stops, you know, making sure we're all kinky. And it wasn't like that.
Well, that's probably telling
it
was a connection, right?
Yeah, a genuine connection.
A genuine connection.
And then when people were trying to tell me I was a rebound after that, I was like, oh, hell no.
Really?
I know for a fact
now. Are you sure?
Yeah. They were like, logically, though, I don't want you to get your heart in a place where you think that it's going somewhere and then he's going to break it. And I'm like, nah. This fool, he made love.
Sometimes you just feel it.
You know
what I mean? It's like I've had situations with friends where it's like, yeah, somebody gets out of a relationship really quickly, or they get out of a relationship and then they like someone, but they like won't let themselves like them because like, but it's too soon. And I'm like, what? Somebody just woke up one day and put time limits on this, and we just all fucking follow it? That's weird.
Right. Exactly.
It's terrible. I hate that.
It's awful.
Plus, when you're, I'm a grown ass man. Like the whole thing about like. Well, he's got to, you know, go through the motions of like go back into dating and find himself. And
I thought that's what I his best friend hooked us up. And I had had a crush on Steve for a while at that point, but I had never thought he was ever going to be available.
Okay.
So I was like, I want to find someone that's like that.
Okay.
I just really liked
She's
that.
Like, I need a Diet Coke daddy.
Yeah. I want like the discount version of that. Of, like if he's still out there in LA. And then when I found out he was single, I was like, oh my God, it's my chance.
Yeah.
But like, cause he hadn't been single in over 4 years. And so I was like, wow, I don't want to blow it. I have like, I really, really like him. He's like my prototype for all the dates that I've been on.
Yeah.
And I told his best friend, cause we were all friends and we worked together and stuff. And, but I was like, do not tell him. And for at least 6 months.
So he told me immediately. Guys, fucking the dopest.
I was like, I'm serious. I want to date him. I don't want to just hook up.
Right.
So I want to make sure he goes through all of his rebounds or whatever he needs to do emotionally to get over it because I want a serious date this guy.
Right.
You know what's so funny too is after that happened, after Michael told me, I was always comfortable around you. It's so funny because I was always
got super nervous,
and then you get nervous around them once you know they like you.
Yeah,
you're
once
like,
you put
okay,
that
well,
out there.
I gotta make sure I move my face not weirdly right now.
So cute.
You know what I mean? Like, you're just overthinking things.
Oh yeah, it changes things. I actually am in this funny thing right now where it's kind of the opposite. Where I was hooking up with this guy, and I was always something about him made me so. Awkward, and like we'd end a date and I'd be like I was not my best self, like I'm usually funny and witty and I was just boring, like something about him made me so nervous and I never felt like I got my like really put my best foot forward.
Oh yeah.
And then it ended, it was always casual, but it like whatever, we found other people, and now we've actually recently become pretty good friends, and it's awesome.
Yeah. Really? Like, because you're comfortable.
Like, it was a switch. Like, the last time we had hung out when we were seeing each other, it was terrible. And then a lot of time went by, and then we hung out for the first time, and it was like a 4-hour dinner.
Because there's no
pressure.
And it was amazing.
Yeah, it's like the pressure instantly went away.
And there's no fucking involved? Like,
none.
Oh, wow.
Not even flirting. It's like incredibly platonic.
But see, you could have intimate connections like that, like when there's no pressure.
Right.
I think the pressure is what like blocks the intimacy.
Absolutely.
And so doing physical activities together and connecting on an emotional level, or like a deeper level, at least like intellectually, emotionally, whatever it is, but just a deeper level builds that intimacy in a relationship, even if it's just a friendship. So we had done enough like bantering and inside jokes and all kinds of stuff from before we were even dating.
Yes.
That I think that contributed a lot to how intimate we were the first, like, right off the bat.
True.
When we started dating. Another thing that this article was talking about is foreplay. A lot of people are skipping foreplay.
Terrible. And it's terrible.
How do we get their faces down on those things? How do we do it?
Do the ninth grade boy. Just push it down.
That is a thing.
Can I be honest? I used to think that's what I used to think guys wanted no foreplay. Like, that what? They just want to get straight to fucking.
I think I definitely thought that too.
Yeah, like,
I definitely
foreplay
thought
was like a woman's thing, like as a girl thing, and I just wanted to please. So, I would skip it. Yeah, for sure. And I just thought that's what guys wanted.
Or a lot of times, too, I feel like, especially when you're younger, if you start, like, giving head, you're like, well, I'm here now, so I'm just going to finish this. And then it's like, then it just becomes head, and that's that.
And that's it.
But versus it just being, like, something, like a means to an end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, it's always, I can't remember the last time you just blew
blowjob. Yeah.
No. It's always the beginning to me.
Yeah.
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 But I feel like sometimes when you're, I guess also, too, maybe with... I'm imagining it with like younger guys who, if a girl's mouth was around their penis, they were coming.
True.
Like,
yeah. And when you're young, like in the beginning days, I mean, there's still, at least for me, when I was, before I lost my virginity, I really still thought I was going to save it till marriage.
Okay.
So anything that wasn't sex, if it was even oral sex to me wasn't sex.
Right.
So if it was that, then I still kept my virginity, and so it was just a lot of blowjobs and like 69ing and stuff like that. And then when we, like, after I did lose my virginity, because I was so used to like the blowjob thing, like sometimes it would just be blowjobs. Because I was like, well, we could have sex since we already had it, but like, I still want to save it for special moments, like birthdays and like holidays and
birthdays
like,
and holidays.
Stuff like that. Yeah,
Labor Day.
When you're a kid, you're just like, that's so special. It's like, it's my private area, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and then you become old and jaded and slutty and
here we are,
and
empowered. Okay,
empowered. I have attached a lot of empowerment to the word slutty, so.
Yeah, there you go.
I always love sluts.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just glad everyone else loves sluts now.
For sure.
Yeah.
I always say, I'm like, I'm not a sexpert. I'm not a doctor or anything like that. I'm just slutty.
That's great.
I have a lot of experience. Yeah.
Another thing about foreplay, too, is that's a really great place for communication.
Absolutely.
That's the part where like you're figuring out each other, and you like see what's turning your partner on, or like what types of things and behaviors and
especially
attitudes.
Especially because such a small percent of women can come from penetration.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a lot of times for them, foreplay is where they come.
Yes.
Totally. And it feels better, and I have a higher ratio of coming during sex if I came during oral sex before.
Me too. 1,000%.
I get this bitch dick drunk. And then that's when it's fun.
Dick drunk.
Yes.
I love that.
That's when it's way mega fun.
My brain shuts off.
Yeah, and well, that's what to say. Really good foreplay makes sex so much better.
Yes.
Even if it's really long foreplay. Like if it's like, especially like sometimes the guy I'm seeing, like we get sloppy and weird. We're like, we'll go like dancing at the Virgil or something, and we get crazy drunk, and we're like, that's foreplay right there. Dancing, like grinding all night.
Physical activity.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Like dancing, whatever, like mingling with people, like looking at each other from across the room. All that is like very prolonged foreplay.
Yes.
And then going into like the Uber ride home, and like you can't keep your hands off each other, and then like add in like a half an hour of like really great like oral sex and foreplay, it's like that sex is going to be wild.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Versus that's if you just like go home and he sticks it in you and it's like.
Yeah. But a lot of people are like, it makes me sad because I hear a lot of couples doing that. Like that's their sex life is
like routine. That routine.
Yeah. They look at their calendar like, oh, today's the sex day. I'm like, once I get home, we're going to
have
sex.
We know a lot of friends like that.
Like things like that. And it's really sad. And just
like,
because.
Oh, I got to fuck him tonight. Like that.
Oh.
Just because you, like, there's a lot of excuses, like, well, you know, I'm a mom, or like, you know, like, right. I don't have time, or stuff like that. You should still at least carve out an hour of a week to, like, engage in some intimacy, like,
absolutely,
some activity with your partner, because it sets a good, it's a good, like, children follow examples, so they yes. see their parents having an intimate relationship, or not. I'm not talking about the sex part, but I'm talking about just like bonding and right. having an intimate
even
relationship,
like just
and
touching
healthy.
Or holding hands or whatever. Yeah, like that is so important. It's also crazy to me that some people, and I don't know if this goes back to like, for me, I've struggled in the past with like Catholic guilt, right?
Totally.
And like stuff like that. And I was the same way when I was younger. I was like, sex has to be special, and it's like it's becoming less and less. But I've noticed it affect my intimacy and my sex life. And I feel like for some people, because of maybe some of that ingrained in them, they think that sex just like isn't a huge deal, and it's okay to skip, or it's okay to put it on a calendar, and it's okay for it to just be like an in and out thing. And it's
yeah.
like, sex is such an important part of relationships,
but
it's like
raised
right
with
up there
such
with
a
like,
stigma. It's
it
got
is.
The biggest stigma, I think, in our culture.
It absolutely does, and it's crazy.
Exactly. And that, like, if you're prioritizing sex over time with your kids, then you're a bad parent. But it's right. like, no, it's the opposite. Like, you need to let your intimate romantic relationship flourish so that you can both be better parents together. It also cuts out stress.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It creates a more stable environment, bro.
Yeah. yeah.
Around your kids.
It's like there are couples I feel like who carve out date night and they'd rather like go to dinner, and that's more important than like carving out sex. It's like,
yeah.
I'd rather it be the opposite. Like, I don't need to go to a fancy, I don't
oh,
need to eat
to
fancy
me, date
food
night
with
usually
you.
Means sex.
Yeah, yeah.
And
but,
it shouldn't mean just sex. That's fine.
Can,
you guys can
also,
like order takeout and just like have sex.
Yeah.
That's,
it can also
like
not happen
night.
And that's completely fine too. Like where it's like, you know, we go to dinner, we watch something.
But she's saying what takes priority.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure,
and
sure.
I do think that like sex for sure, because sometimes if it's been too long, like if it's been over a week and we get busy and stuff, and it's,
right.
if it's been over a week, I just start getting catty, like, and we start like kind of poking each other, and we don't
yeah.
even know why until we realize, oh yeah, it's been a while since we had sex.
Yeah.
And once we have sex, it completely, all that goes away, just
yeah.
vanishes. I feel so close to him. Like everything
just
seems so
easy. I open my eyes the next morning
so
and her
easy.
Face is on top of mine, and she's like, I love you. And I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, there she is.
Things
like,
have changed.
It feels like life is going like, why is life hard? To being like, whoa, life is so easy.
Yeah. You need that endorphin rush sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's funny you said sometimes sex doesn't have to happen, because mm-hmm. a friend of mine recently said this and it stuck with me. They were like, true intimacy is being able to say, I don't feel like it tonight.
Dude.
And I was like, oh, wow. Because, you know, in the beginning, it goes back to like
yeah.
us talking about like performing
the
and them needing to come. I think in the beginning, too, especially in younger relationships, it's like, oh, my God, if we're not having sex, or if I don't feel like having, I can't say I don't feel like having sex, it's going to ruin his life.
Yeah.
Versus being able to be like,
or he's not going to text me for 2 days
yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Versus like that intimacy of being like, I don't feel like it tonight.
Versus we, it's like, what's going to stimulate me more right now? We're at the last 3 episodes of Game of Thrones. Or we could go fuck.
So much more
we
important.
We picked Game of Thrones.
That's
we
true.
Did.
As you should have.
That, yeah. that happened like 2 weeks ago.
But in according to Psychology Today, that is an intimate experience, because we are both having a discussion afterwards.
Yeah.
We talk about, we are like attached emotionally to this
yep.
thing, and we both want to talk about it. And so that itself builds intimacy, because I'm like, it's like confirming that you are a great partner for me, and I am feeling lots of feelings for you. And then
yeah.
when we do have sex, it's just that much better.
Right.
Yeah, it's like foreplay. It's
yeah.
like even doing
yes.
this with my wife is like foreplay to me, like hanging out with her, getting to do the show and stuff.
Yeah.
Even though it's connected to job, still getting to do all the stuff with her is like that. And then like when we do our sticky show stuff together, that's all to me the same kind of jam, even
oh,
though
yeah.
we still carve out a date night every week.
Right.
So it's just all the sugar on top.
Well, yeah, I think seeing your partner like thrive and be creative and do cool things, like that can ease. So many things can be foreplay. I've been in
yes.
this place lately where I'm exploring the possibility of my next relationship being open.
Mm.
In some way. I'm not exactly sure what that means, because I think open can mean is different for every single
yeah,
relationship.
Yeah, you set the rules for
you
your
absolutely
own
set
self.
The rules.
Yeah.
And so for some people, that's just threesomes and maybe like flirting with other people. And for some people, it's full on other relationships. For some people, it's just sex with other people and they have their own rules or whatever. But
what do you want it to be?
I haven't decided yet.
Oh, okay.
But the good thing is the person I'm seeing right now is cool with that too. I basically was just like, I don't necessarily know what I want, but I definitely want to like explore it all. And if we
yeah.
hate it, we hate it. And if we love it, like let's keep it going. And we can kind of start off small and start with like flirting with other people in front at parties. Let's see how that feels. If you hate the way that feels and your stomach drops in your ass, cool. We don't have to do it.
Yeah.
And if we're like, oh, this is kind of a turn on, maybe we'd take it to the next step. Maybe that's a threesome. And you know what I mean? Just
yeah,
kind
it's
of like
really cool that you're open with each other.
Exploring things together. And like I said, if you don't like it, you don't like it. Versus I know couples who are like, we're going to be open. And then they kind of feel pressured to do it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, we're open now.
Or if one person's having a lot of sex in the open relationship and the other one's not really getting
laid. The guy's not.
Right. But first, and that comes back to communication, being able to be like, this actually isn't working for me. Mm-hmm. And that being okay, too. So we're exploring that. But it all came down to this girl I know who's dating someone, and their big thing is they love to flirt with other people at parties in front of each other. And there's this thing I always say to my podcast. There's this study that found that excitement and anxiety are the exact same part of the brain.
Oh, yeah.
And it's conscious perception of which one you choose to feel. Because jealousy can be a fun emotion. It can be absolutely terrible. But also, there's something we crave a little bit with
that. Yeah, I could see that.
And they have found a way to kind of like hone it. And they're very secure. They have no insecurities at all. And being able to be like, oh, this feeling of like somebody else wanting my partner is super hot. And they'd stop it there. And they'll go home together, but that's like their foreplay, is like that pent up, like seeing their person with some, like flirting with someone else and like knowing that they're wanted by someone else and then coming and like taking them home. Yeah. And I'm like, that sounds so hot. I'm very into that.
It might be a similar feeling to like hate sex or like even makeup
angry
sex.
Angry makeup sex. Because all that stuff, you don't want your whole relationship to be about it, but it can definitely be like a fun
fiery
thing.
Getting jealous and then like, oh, I'm going to tear your clothes off later.
Exactly. Yeah. It can be super, I could see that. Fun. So, yeah, foreplay can mean a million different things. Sometimes it's flirting with other people. So,
yeah, and then we actually had a guest on Show They Don't Tell You, Shan Boodrum.
Yes.
She's great. By the way, she just came out with a new book, and you should check it out. But she had an open relationship, and she still, I think, I might be wrong about this, but I think she calls it an open marriage because people were asking, like, well, now that you're getting married, like, is it still an open relationship? And to them, their version of what an open relationship is that they just trust each other, where it's like, you know, if you're going to do something, you're allowed to do whatever you want.
Your personal free will.
Yeah. But if you do certain things and I get hurt by it, I can also choose to not be in this anymore.
Yes.
And so it just takes a lot of that pressure off, that there's like rules and someone's checking on you or you have to check in with somebody.
Yeah.
And brings it to a much more comfortable place, which I think, I mean, that's how our relationship is anyway.
Right.
And we don't call it an open relationship.
Yeah.
But I feel like I think a lot of people that are scared of commitment are scared of losing their independence.
Yes.
And so even just labeling something like an open relationship, but having it be like, well, I really like want to be exclusive with you, but you know, there are certain things that, like, if you are out hanging with a guy, I'm not gonna, like, if I'm hanging out with a guy, that you're not gonna get jealous about that or whatever.
And that ruins future relationships. Like, I know people who are like scared to be in relationships, they have commitment issues because they've been in relationships that are so
controlling
mm-hmm. and like manipulative and toxic and stuff. And they just like, they're like, oh, that's what a relationship is we have to text 24/7. We have to constantly check in on each other. I'm not allowed to have friends of the opposite sex. And I'm like, man, you have a terribly warped view of what a good because I always say this a lot. I have a lot of guy friends who are like, and a lot of guys think that single is being better. And I'm like, I will say this. I don't care if I sound like a quote-unquote crazy girl. 1,000,000,000% relationships are better than being single. Mm-hmm. 1,000% across the board.
Healthy relationships.
Yes. If you think that relationships suck, you've been in terrible relationships.
Absolutely.
And you should look within.
Yeah.
If you've been in nothing but terrible relationships, sometimes, you know, fucking look
common
around you, bro.
Common denominator there.
Yeah, come on.
But yeah, I've seen that a lot. And I'm like, no, relationships are, they're the best. There is nothing better than being in a healthy relationship.
That's why I think that marriage gets such a bad rap. You know, there's a lot of like jokes, like very like cliche, like,
oh,
my wife, or
I'm
going to
be locked
and chain.
My last day of freedom.
Yeah.
Everybody loves
stuff
Raymond,
like that. Where,
sitcom shit.
Yeah, I don't think you're in a healthy marriage if that's how you feel about your
if you're dreading getting married. Maybe there's a problem there.
Or if you're like,
it's a real battle
act. Been married a couple of years and you're like, yeah, sex goes away after marriage or whatever. I mean, granted, we haven't had kids yet, but I just don't know. I feel like I'm more passionate about him each year.
Yeah.
Same.
And we've, you know, been married a few
years
now.
By the day,
now,
bro. I get
keep
more
wondering
and more obsessed with this chick.
And that's amazing. I feel like that maybe that comes down to like our age too. Like with older couples, I think that sex stigma was way bigger. And now we're getting to this point where we're like, sex is fine and cool and great and sick and awesome. Versus before it was like, yeah, you can only do it when you're married. And
there was a pressure to get married.
So much pressure. It's like that takes all the fun out of sex versus now we're just like, sex is chill and awesome and sick. And we're going to talk to our kids about it. And
that's
it's cool and fine.
Yeah.
And I think that that's probably a big thing too with like why people in our generation are probably going to have more sex into marriage than the previous generations.
Yeah, because if I didn't like having sex with him, I wouldn't marry him.
Right. Because like we said, it's such an important part
absolutely
of a relationship.
And when I think about like, oh, forever, like even just thinking 40 years from now, am I going to want to be with this person? Yeah. Can I be with this person every single day for the next 40 years and not get sick of them? That's what you should ask yourself before getting married to somebody.
Absolutely. Because
for me, it was like an absolutely yes. I could absolutely be with this person forever.
Yeah. For me, I wish I could be immortal because I just want to hang with this chick at all times.
Oh my God. That is so cute. Yeah, oh my goodness. Real.
I swear.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're totally putting on for you guys.
We do it for the views and for the vids.
Yeah. Hashtag couple goals.
That's it.
We are a hashtag couple goals. No.
Truly.
No, but really, like, and it's hard for me because, like, I know a lot of, like, some couples that are just in that notion that relationships are super hard work and, like, just that's just how it is, and that's
half
how
my
love
friends
is
start to lecture people
stuff.
With that. I'm like, you are and not I'm a like, fucking expert. You're
no,
in a disaster.
Like, that's sad. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. I think that people find people that they're like maybe infatuated with, or like there's certain things they like about the relationship, and they're willing to settle on the rest. But you can like work through those settling parts, or if you can't work through those settling parts, like there's other relationships that will fulfill all those needs if you moved on from that. But people are scared.
They get so scared that they're going to be left behind.
Lonely forever.
I'll be 40 and unmarried or whatever.
Yeah.
All the memes, right?
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. That's still like a thing.
Yeah.
There's so many people in this world. And also like, I mean, it's just crazy. It's like we can do whatever we want, guys.
Yes.
We can literally do whatever we want. We make the rules. Everything's fine. I also wonder too with that, it's like, and I don't think this is always the case, but like with cheating, obviously there are some people who are just terrible and they just want to cheat. But I wonder too if some of it comes down to like this communication issue that a lot of relationships have, where like maybe if people were more openly communicative about their sex life and asking for what they want and being open to like, having those conversations with their partner, if cheating would happen less.
Totally.
Well, a lot of people can't have conversations with their partner though.
Yeah.
I got a lot of friends who are like, I feel like I can't even talk to her about this because she immediately shuts it down or whatever. Like they're in a relationship where they don't have the best intentions for one another, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're talking to me and I'm in a relationship with you and I'm storing things that you're saying so that I can use them against you later as weapons.
So toxic.
You're not in a good relationship.
Yeah, right.
So we don't have communication base level at home. So when I'm at work talking to this chick who's like totally cool and she's like, listen to me, and everything I'm saying, she's not going to use as weapons later. Oh, she's really nice and cool. Ooh, maybe I have feelings for her.
Right.
That's how I feel like all that shit happens.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then you don't really know that person. So you're putting them on.
You're projecting
them as this like, manic pixie dream girl or whatever.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden you're cheating.
Like, and then you find out that she's a bitch too.
Right, exactly.
And really
it
all it is.
It had nothing to do with that.
It had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with just talking to the fucking person.
Right.
And having the best intentions for them while you're talking to them. And I really want you to pay attention to that out there, folks. Having the best intentions for them means that what you're trying to understand their point of view, right?
Yeah.
You want to understand where they're coming from because you view them in a positive light and you want to help them understand
you're
where you're
team.
Coming
yeah.
from. Exactly.
Yeah, like a lot of people think that they're not on the same team.
Right,
it's like
me against them.
Mm-hmm. And like they always do this and they always say this and blah blah blah. And they each have those backstories of what they built this other person to be, the enemy. And and I think in a healthy relationship, you really do feel like you're on the same team as your partner. And like if there's a disagreement, you want to understand, like, why is there a disagreement? Because we're so on the same page.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Why aren't we on the same team is the question
let's
that you should
it out.
Ask.
Yeah.
Right? And to each other. And here's why I don't think we're on the same team. Here's why I don't think we're on the same team.
Right.
And start there.
And
if you're scared
reasons.
To have those conversations, like, yeah, there's a big problem there. If you're scared of how somebody's going to react to you talking about the way you feel, there's a huge problem there.
I used to think that there's even Tough Talk videos of me out there. There's a format called Tough Talk. I used to think, I thought I was talking all tough about it because I was like, hey, man.
Yeah, because you would hit these talking points.
Relationships are work, bro. You're going to break up with each other. You're going to get back together.
Oh my
you're going to like, you know what I mean? Like, that's normal. Like, you're going to go home and like, you got to like do what they want to do sometimes. And sometimes they'll do what you want to do sometimes. And it's like, You really don't have to do that.
You just hadn't been in like
just aren't in a compatible relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you should start there.
But I think that people hear all this and be like, okay, this is normal then. And they stay in their shitty relationship and they don't work on it because it's, or they are with the wrong person or a bad fit because they hear so many other people confirming like, oh, you're like that? Oh, you're like that? Okay, all relationships suck. And it's just something we have to live through.
Relationships are hard. That's like what everybody says, relationships are hard. And not that they're always a walk in the park, but like, yeah, you shouldn't be fighting all the time. You should not be breaking up.
Like, yeah, the issues that you have are like are just that. They're just an issue that you work on with together with your partner. And then you should feel good after. You should feel even closer. Like after our biggest fights, we felt closer and stronger than we ever had before the fight.
Right.
Because we worked through a huge issue together as a team.
Always.
Yeah.
We're for the team.
Yeah, we're for the team.
Communicating. It all comes down to that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here, Rhea. You are a Rhea of sunshine.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's
You're
been
very fun.
Awesome.
Thank you.
I can't even believe an hour went by.
I can't.
This is like my favorite subject.
That was really quick.
Awesome. Definitely check out her podcast. Was it good for you?
Was that good for you?
Was this
but
good for you?
People always say, was that, was this, was it? Because you kind of ask it the way you want it. So.
Was that good for you?
I bet you it comes up either way.
Was that good for you?
Yes.
Yeah. How do you have this cool energy? You have a very cool energy.
Thanks. I don't know, man.
She has a chill girl vibe.
Yeah, chill girl vibe. Yeah. You have the chill girl vibe.
I think it's a mix of like weed, childhood trauma, a bunch of stuff.
Okay. By the way, can I just say, unrelated, I love your Instagram. Like, I just love the way you edit your photos and like like your whole vibe of your Instagram. That's like,
oh my goodness.
I really, really like the aesthetic of your Instagram.
Thank you.
And I don't say that to like anybody because I think it's so lame when I'm like, I like your Instagram theme. Like but like, honestly, yeah, your like filters, like the vintagey vibe, I really dig it.
Thank you. Yeah. I carry a film camera with me all the time. So it's all on, it's all film.
Oh, it's all real
it's
film.
It's all real film.
Oh, I thought you totally like used, there's a lot of photo editing things that you can add grain to, but like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's almost all film.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, where can they find you?
Oh yeah. So Was That Good For You? It was the podcast. And I'm Rhea Carmona everywhere. YouTube, Instagram, Twitter.
Good branding.
We like to end the show with a thing called Final Thought. We like where we have everyone give a final thought. What is your final thought? Or you can go first, Nikki, if you want.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting me.
If you want.
Come first. I
really
would say,
hope that she goes first, but it's
do a really honest self-reflection because I did not realize that I hadn't been intimate in my sex life. I thought that just sex was a certain thing and I was very strong about it. But when I was really honest with myself and allowed myself to just completely be open to being pleasured in sex rather than like needing to perform or give pleasure, I had the best sex ever. My whole sex life turned around. So, and it's really healthy, like, moving forward. So just, like, if you're not, if you think that sex is just meh, just really have an honest look at yourself.
That's great.
Yeah.
My final thought is ask for what you want. Say how you feel. It sounds really scary to do, but it's so much worse than not. It is absolutely so much worse. And you're going to feel, even if it doesn't come out exactly how you want, you're just going to feel so much better afterwards. And you'll find somebody who does give you what you want.
My final thought is get it the fuck in. Get that pussy. Smack it if you need to.
Smack it if you need
and
to.
And get it in.
Get those emotional connections in.
And the fists.
Yeah.
That's it.
The whole fist.
And then when you're in there, cry. As hard as you can.
True intimacy.
Thank
Sometimes
you.
Sometimes I cry after, and I always thought that was like a cliche thing because I had never cried after sex until you. That sounds bad.
That does sound
like,
terrible.
No, but I really felt completely open and vulnerable, and I don't think I ever did that before you. And sometimes it comes out of nowhere where I think I was just a lot of stress and tension and all this stuff, and then it just gets all released. You know, some people cry in massages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sex. I think that's what happens for me.
True. She cries after sex often.
That's amazing.
Not often. It's happened like 5 times in our in our whole relationship.
I'm not insecure about it. I actually think it's good, I guess.
It's like a sweet cry.
Yeah,
it's like a beautiful cry.
Awesome.
It's like where I'm like, I feel
I've
so
I've definitely
complete.
Had like tears roll down, like come out.
Yeah.
I'm like, that means this is great. This is going wonderfully.
I like that. Get yourself some cry sex.
Get yourself some cry sex.
I weep after sex, but usually in awe of my own performance.
Yeah. You should.
I love the confidence.
Thank you.
And then also, if you ever have a topic that you want us to talk about, feel free to email us podcast@nikki.limo. That's podcast@nikki.limo. And you can find us, Should They Don't Tell You, on Twitter and Should They Don't on, or sorry, backwards, Should They Don't on Twitter and Should They Don't Tell You on Instagram.
Thanks.
Thank
rate
you.
Us.
Please rate
Thanks.
Us. It helps a lot. Thank you.
And thank you.
Check out Raya.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.